This is the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, The Grays. Greetings and welcome back to another episode of the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, Jim and Tom. We're back after our obligatory one-month hiatus. We always take one. It's our annual vacation. But we're back, and our last episode was Raya and the Last Dragon, March 15th. So we are right at the one-month mark. But in the meantime, we've missed a lot of stuff since we've recorded. Four episodes of The Falcon and Winter Soldier. Invincible happened. It was happening. The Mighty Ducks are back. Godzilla versus King Kong. Nobody. Concrete Cowboy, the Philadelphia Cowboy story with Idris Elba, and
I didn't see that at all.
Fantastic. Fantastic. It's on Netflix. And then this movie that we're going to talk about, a movie that you and I have already talked about in Tennessee, but not in front of microphones. Right. We are talking Zack Snyder's The Justice League, The Snyder Cut, the movie that we've been waiting for since the first A lot of news coming out before, a lot of news coming out after. I think his name's Chris Terrio said that he wanted his name scrubbed from writing the first one when he saw it. Yeah. And he asked his lawyers if he could do that, and he's proud of this movie now. But we're going to enter spoiler territories. This episode might be 4 hours long, who knows, because we're breaking down a four-hour movie. Is this one of the longest movies you've ever seen?
Yeah, probably intentionally. I'm sure there's a lot of like gimmick movies out there that are, you know, well over four hours. But to say mainstream, it's just got to be the longest mainstream. I know like the remasterings and the director cuts of Lord of the Rings and stuff like that, they get up there around 3.5. Maybe four.
I think Return of the King is like a few minutes longer than this.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, but...
But that's not... Yeah, this isn't theater release. Well, it was, but that's not, you know...
Yeah.
This is a different...
How many watches did you have to... Like, how many, like, set periods did you have to take to watch this?
Two.
Okay.
Yeah. It was over... surprisingly, I got 2 hours in, like, at night. We watched this before we went to Tennessee together, and I think I got 2 hours. I think I finished it. I watched it at home. Yeah, I think I got 2 hours the next day. So it's not a. It's I mean, if you got 4 hours to invest in one day, good on you. I don't, and I don't think too many people do.
Yeah,
but.
You know. Yeah, I actually was one of those people who had 4 hours to invest. See, I wasn't working at the time, so I got to be able to sit at home when it came out. I watched it, and I can tell you, if you watch the first 2 hours at night, that's a long 2 hours.
Yeah.
The opening to this movie is, it's definitely a four-hour movie. Those first 2 hours are some of the longest minutes I've ever watched. I was watching it with Chelsea, who... I didn't know. I forgot that I didn't see it with her. So I came home and I told her, I was like, this one's bad. You don't want to watch it. We'll wait till the director's cut comes out.
Yeah.
And I forgot that she didn't see it leading up. So I had to explain all the backstory. So I just did that throughout the movie. And I was talking the entire movie like, oh, and this wasn't in the movie. And that wasn't in the movie. This scene was terrible. This is what he fixed.
Man. It's 100% different movie.
Yeah.
But there are things, and the biggest offender to me, we're not going to see eye to eye on this movie, I don't think. But the biggest offender is when we watch her get coffee for what seems like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's it. You see them put a nice little pattern in her cappuccino. She takes a sip of it. She walks out, stares at the memorial, walks away. Like, that was literally like 5 minutes that you could have took off. And cumulative, all this stuff, cumulative, there's a lot of shots that I'm not sure what they're for.
Yeah.
There, I mean,
In particular, I believe, was only in there because Zack Snyder was in that scene.
Yeah.
I feel like he was like, I can't cut. This is my big break.
Yeah, this is it. I'm in this. He's got to be on camera for more than 5 minutes to get a different paycheck and get like a side card.
He needs that side card. That's important.
I don't know. It doesn't sound like much, but if that was in a 2.5 hour movie, you go, okay, it's kind of a weird scene to have. But in a 4 hour movie, those things start to add up and you start to go, wow, you know, you minus some of these extraneous scenes and you could get this down to 3.5 hours easily.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's so much stuff that could have been compressed as opposed to expand it. The hero story got a ton of expansion, everyone, which I'm fine with. But like Silas Stone, I don't know if he needed 45 minutes of screen time.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand that he was important in certain aspects, but he got a lot of screen time. James Gordon, like the scenes within Gotham PD, a lot of screen time. They expanded everybody that DC and Josh Whedon had wronged. You know what I mean? And I think
at this point, like Wonder Woman's reintroduction where she like literally blows up a bank full of people or the museum filled with people and artifacts. She blew those people up.
Bashing people's faces in.
Yeah, like, and then when the beam hits her, she, like, everybody dies. Like, that didn't have to happen. You just killed all those people. That's a lot of time. Or I think when a cyborg goes and sends a secret message to Wonder Woman to meet him.
Yeah.
And then when she meets him, he tells her before she tells him the plan. He's like, no. Yeah. Why go through all that? And then why film it? And why make us sit through 10 minutes of Cyborg saying no?
Yeah.
When we've already seen it also. Like, everybody has done the same thing.
And that scene was in the first one.
Yeah.
That was in the original. So it was, that was definitely the Zack Snyder touches. Like, when he's going and hacking into the ATM and Cyborg's giving him the money. And you see the flashbacks of when they're blowing up and... There's definitely like the first, I can't even say the first 5 minutes are the same because they're not. There's just little pieces of the first movie, the original, that made this cut. And then they were like, we're just going to expand it completely.
Yeah.
And it just, the way I looked at it when I was coming out of it, all in all, I liked this movie. I know I know your take on it and you're going to talk about it, but I really liked this movie. And the end thing that came out to me, like the end thought was, it's a shame that it's going to take Zack Snyder on all of his movies 4 hours to tell these stories. You know, his three most mainstream movies, Watchmen, this, and Batman versus Superman. I guess you could say 300, but those three got director's cuts. All 2-3 hour movies, and he needs the director's cut to tell his full story. The way I'm seeing it now is like, when Zack Snyder's name is attached to a movie, I feel like we're not going to get the story that he wants to tell. I would prefer Zack Snyder to stop making movies and go to TV. Show run series.
Yeah.
Get like, do what the Duffer Brothers did and make a hit for Netflix or Hulu or Amazon and just run 8 hours of television.
That's a good point because that's the world he's going to live in.
Yeah.
And he's only going to get so many chances to tell his story and make a movie. They're not going to give him whatever amount of 4 hours every time to just because this turned out better than its original. They're not going to do that every time.
Mm-mm.
They need this isn't conducive to, you know, mainstream audiences. You have to trim it down. And if you're incapable of telling stories and if you're afraid of getting, maybe that's it. Maybe he's afraid that he's never going to get that sequel. Then you need to do something about the way that you make movies. And
yeah.
I mean, maybe now that, well, no, we already know that this didn't do anything for him or the franchise or, you know, DC EU in any way. I mean, it's, the cracks are already showing, and they're dropping movies left and right. So maybe it was all for nothing, but we'll see.
Yeah, this is a movie that just brings a lot of what ifs. You know what I mean? What would have happened if he got a trilogy? I feel like if Zack Snyder again is going to be attached to big market movies, big IPs, he needs to like iron out that like there's a guaranteed trilogy in this.
Yeah,
because you're gonna get an hour and a half, 2 hours of a shell of what he wants to tell you, and all the good stuff's gonna get cut.
Yeah,
because it needs to be three acts instead of eight that we or six of what we got in this one, and two preludes.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. And that's a good point. Is he? We have to always compare it to MCU. Is he? Everybody creating in the MCU right now knows how long they have to tell their story. Mm-hmm. They know they have three movies, or they know they have two more movies, or whatever. So, and after that, they could tell their story in other movies and all this other stuff. They know that they're going to get the show what they want to show, and they know how much time they get. Zack Snyder might be fighting to get scrounged for a couple hours here or there. You know, it takes a horrible movie, a pandemic, for fans to say, okay, let's watch a Zack Snyder 4-hour movie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it really took. So Justice League, the original theater release was one of the worst movies I've ever watched. So
yeah,
this isn't, but you know, I think that's what it took. Like,
yeah. You know. And a lot of the stuff that I liked about this movie actually wasn't part of the initial Justice League movie. It was the nightmare stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and the setup for Justice League 2, Injustice, Batman Nightmare, wherever you want to go with it, was great. The lineup was great. The backstory of Robin being murdered, which was explained that it wasn't Jason Todd. It was Dick Grayson who was killed. Yeah. Harley Quinn was killed. Like, Aquaman was killed. Wonder Woman was killed. All that was great. But that was all supposed to be in the second movie where the nightmare stuff actually happened, and the Flash was supposed to go back in time, which he did in what, BVS, and he went back into the wrong date. We would have seen that travel again. But it was just like, I still appreciate this movie for what it was, because this was, I was telling Chuck when we recorded it, this was like an entire run of a comic book series.
Yeah.
Like from start to finish, and you got those boring scenes in it, those boring, like you're like, why do I need to see Lois Lane's latte order being constructed? Like nobody wants to see that. But like the touches that he did increase, like the violence, he ramped it up. Like it was a much darker movie, but it was from a perspective of like the color contrast, but it was also darker in tones of violence. The dialogue was darker. The expansion on the characters. Again, I liked almost everything except for like the Silas Stone stuff. Mera, I still don't understand the bubbles.
Yeah, especially since it's been ratified in the movie.
Like, yeah.
It didn't need to. I don't know how much he, like, I don't know how much he just went back to. I don't know how much has been reshot. I don't know if they've ever.
All of that had to be reshot because Willem Dafoe had a whole different haircut.
Yeah.
From the first movie, Aquaman, and this one, he had a full different haircut.
Right. Here's a problem I had was every single introduction to a character was exactly the same as the character. They went and asked Aquaman. He said no. They went and asked him again. He said yes.
Yeah.
They went and asked Cyborg. He says no. They asked him again. He says yes. They asked Wonder Woman. She says no. They ask her again. Like, everybody went through the same exact story, and that was kind of repetitive and boring, and I don't know. Like, I think they could have done a lot better with that, but I don't know. I thought it looked better.
Yeah, definitely. For sure.
And in light of what's coming out about Joss Whedon, like, I'm not sure if I was ever... I'm trying to think of some of the stuff he did, and I don't know if I was a fan of it because of him or if it was just good at the time.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, like I said, we say it all the time, you know, don't ever hero worship.
Because, yeah, for sure.
It'll really let you down. So, you know, Joss Whedon, maybe not as talented as we thought, and apparently had his own vision for this movie, but I don't know how some of that got passed. And I think they... Now, was Ray Fisher involved in any of the reshoots?
Yeah. He worked with Snyder.
Okay.
Snyder came to his defense.
I thought there were still some CGI issues with... I thought Cyborg wasn't great.
Well, at times it wasn't, yeah. Like when he's trying to separate the mother boxes.
Yeah.
And it was like, I thought there were
some CGI
cheesy.
Issues with him. Because everywhere I see Cyborg, the best I have ever seen him is like the cartoons, where it's kind of like living organic metal. But I think that they did with in everything I've seen on in the movies is they kind of make it like Transformer-ish.
Yeah.
And I think the better would be to kind of make it like maybe some alien looking, you know, or yeah. Living metal or something like that. I don't
kind of like Vision, just with like half Vision makeup, half human.
Yeah, something like that, or like conduits and stuff like that, and a glow instead of, you know, these sharp edges and, you know, 99% machinery and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, he definitely looked like Megatron.
Yeah.
Like just...
And parts are always moving.
Yeah. He's not like... He's half man, half machine. Like, and right. they turn him into like a machine with half a face.
Yeah.
I think the best, besides cartoons, Doom Patrol does an okay job.
Yeah.
He's got more skin. More visible right. skin, I guess. And that, I mean, that's always a weird, I guess that's a weird character for DC to kind of work on. You would think that with technology nowadays and how Marvel's absolutely crushing character, like, depiction, yeah. you would think they'd be able to get it, but they didn't. What did you think of the changes that they made with the new characters, bringing in Ryan Choi, who would have eventually became the Atom, Martian Manhunter, and then obviously the Apocalyptans?
The Apocalyptans was neat. Martian Manhunter was good.
Yeah.
Seemed a little forced.
Crazy how he's the brightest character in the entire movie.
Right.
Like that green popped in a gray movie, whereas the Flash is in a red suit, did not right. pop at all.
You know, we heard Green Lantern, and we sort of kind of got a little Green Lantern-y thing here and there.
Yeah, what'd you think of that scene?
I didn't know anything about who that Green Lantern... you know... Which is kind of good because we always get the M. Sabinur. Who is
that's Apocalypse. I know who you're talking about.
Who's the original?
He's got the purple face. Ryan Reynolds was giving him the ring from him. I can't remember his name.
But we also get that same story.
Yeah,
I mean I think that's Hal Jordan's story is he gets the ring from the purple guy.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that lantern that he got that you know the ring was shown in this. But that was cool. I think we got a Kilowog too, right?
No, just one lantern.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, besides the point, I was hoping like for a little bit more lantern, but that's fine.
Me too.
But I always like Martian Manhunter, and I don't think he gets... I think he's underrated because it's hard to, you know, have a guy who is potentially more powerful than Superman...
Yeah,
and or should be more powerful than Superman, but you got to write him like he's not for some reason. You got to write him to a draw, which sucks. But I it seemed like a last minute addition, but I do like the actor that plays him.
Yeah, Henry Lennox.
Yeah, I think he's great, and I think it was just enough. It was a touch.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, maybe we get a future with him.
Oh.
And apparently there was some writing that he played a general. It's the same. Henry Lennox played a general, and that was supposed to be, or would have been written, as Martian Manhunter. But
yeah, he was in Man of Steel.
Yeah,
and the thing about that is, I understand that you're writing this character in, but to go nowhere. Like they knew every movie after Justice League was going nowhere, so they could have used that character. Like I thought the scene where Martha became him was cool. A lot of people were like, well, how does he know all this stuff? How is he able to, you know, connect with Lois? But you go back to the comics, you go back to Supergirl, you back everything with Martian Manhunter. He, when he becomes a person, he becomes their memories, he becomes their cognizance, yeah, and their consciousness. So that wasn't too far fetched.
Well, they didn't explain it, but they don't have enough time. I mean,
oh, they had time to explain Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, they could have, but. Yeah, I mean, they could have just threw a scene in there where he reads the minds of whoever he's taken and absorbs their memories and things like that. I mean, that could have been done. But, it's catering to the fans a little by saying, here's this guy, and the fans are like, oh, great, I know exactly who that is, and that's fine. I don't mind that either. I don't think we need an introduction to everybody right away.
Even though I liked his participation in this movie, I still think they missed their mark with Martian Manhunter. They should have used him as Steve Trevor in the second Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
You know that character is going nowhere in the Justice League. Here's your introduction for the future. You have Henry Lennox who wants to play him more. You can establish that further in the DCEU. Nope, they ruined it. And now we're hearing that Ben Affleck's Batman, or not Ben Affleck, Robert Pattinson's Batman is Earth 2 Batman. So it's not connected again. There's so much disconnect in that whole universe. It's beyond me. Same thing.
You need when they made that map for the new 52, I think it was, or whenever, and that whole the map of where the Earths are, and then where the alternate universes and realities are, and then there's space outside of. That's what they need for the DCEU is. A map of where everybody exists and how they connect to each. Because you've already shown us that this Flash is connected with the other Flash, but you didn't. You let that happen. Now it's gone. Bring it back. I don't.
Yeah. I hear you. There's a lot, and bringing Ryan Choi into the movie and expanding his role as much as he did. Him and Silas Stone, again, had huge scenes. Yeah. Huge moments in this movie to go nowhere. And I guess that's just catering to hey, you were in the movie, the original. Let's give you some more love. We cut you out of it. I thought that was okay. The Apocalyptons were great. Yeah. Even though we didn't get what everybody thought we were going to get. We got Steppenwolf, who was a legit badass villain in this. Really did his damage. And we get a look at Desaad and Granny Goodness and Darkseid, but we don't actually get Darkseid touching down besides the expansion of the Amazons, the people, the gods, the Atlanteans, all that battle. So what'd you think of that?
I think we were dealt... we all thought we were getting a Darkseid fight.
Yeah.
And we didn't get it. The fight that we got, he was kind of beat by humans. And there's a silly part, I think, is when they give the humans a mother box and they just bury it in the ground where everybody else is guarded around the clock by, the special forces of their guard.
Yeah.
And the humans put it in a hole in the ground. Yep.
Well, I mean, that's very us. Come on. If we got a special box, we wouldn't want anyone to know that we got it. We'd bury it.
Yeah.
And forget where it's at. Or build over it.
Yeah. What we saw of Darkseid wasn't that impressive. He was beat by the combination of humans and, the gods and whatever Atlanteans turned out to be or are. And then we see him, on the planet. We didn't get any Granny Goodness, which I was hoping for.
Yeah, we just got her standing in the background. Yeah. She didn't say a word. It was so disappointing. No. I was like, Judi Dench, I need you to say something, even though I don't think it was Judi Dench.
Yeah, I think we said it looked like Judi Dench for a second. Yeah. I think the Darkseid introduction was not lame because we could see more of him, but it did seem like what we saw of him. He wasn't as impressive.
Yeah. He looked scared when the portal was closing. I feel like he could have just leapt through it and rained hell, but he was like, nah, I don't want this. Superman's got a black suit on. He's beating the shit out of everybody.
Or he could have, there's his Omega beams or whatever, where his, I don't know how they're going to play, but I mean, he could transport himself anywhere in the universe. So.
We did see the Omega beams, which was cool.
Yeah.
Expect underwater, and Darkseid does not need air bubbles. Not to talk, not to control his Omega beams, but the Lord and God of the Seas needs an air bubble. And Mera's British. there were a lot of things that kind of like the it was the water scenes for me that really just took it away from me.
They were
way too dirty, and just the fact that they needed these air bubbles when you could have just went and got James Wan and been like, this is what we did.
Yeah, what I think this movie suffers from, and the only credit I'll give here is that it at this point we have seen everything that we're 2 or 3 movies past Justice League at this point. You know, we have an expanded Aquaman universe. We have an expanded Wonder Woman universe. We have Suicide Squad, but
yeah, we've got some. I don't even know if we have that. But David Ayer is still trying to get that Suicide Ayer cut out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but
not gonna happen.
Not now. No, I mean this was successful, but we have all those things made. And this kind of came back and tried to, you know, stick to its original story that it told, but try to update it. But they didn't update. It doesn't seem like they updated the writing enough. Like, and what we're talking about is the parts that take place in the water. We've already seen that in 2 movies. Well, a movie at this point. That they didn't need bubbles. They didn't need. Mir didn't have a British accent.
Yep.
Mir's a general in this.
Yeah.
Not a princess.
Not at all.
And
this is before all of that stuff, which is crazy.
I don't know. I didn't do enough research to know if this undoes any or creates any plot holes in the other movies besides the Aquaman stuff, but it doesn't really matter that much.
Yeah, I mean, The Flash still hasn't gotten a movie.
Here's to be honest. Flash was my favorite part in this movie.
I was just going to ask you about him because everyone I've talked to has hated Ezra Miller in this movie.
I liked
except for me. I thought he was great.
I mean, he was goofy, which is kind of the Flash's thing. In everything we ever see to Flash, he's kind of smart, but doesn't want to live up to it. But the only part I didn't like is his Iris introduction where...
all the hot dogs?
Yeah. And he's touching her face.
Yeah, no one liked that.
She can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
It's very, very weird and very creepy.
I was wondering if that was a Josh Whedon scene, given what I heard about him.
It felt like a Josh Whedon scene. I don't know. That's something you should see and go, oh, we shouldn't put that in there.
Yeah.
I mean, in light of what's going on in the world and the way that people have been treated in Hollywood... And, you know, in this old movie, we shouldn't probably put that in there.
Yeah. So. Yeah, unforced face touching while hot dogs are slapping you in slow-mo. probably not the best scene to leave in the movie. Yeah, I thought he was good. I was glad to see Iris in this movie because I think Kiersey Clemons got screwed majorly in the first one.
Yeah.
And now that she's, you know, she's back as Iris in Flashpoint, whenever that's going to happen... And Billy Kudrup, who got a lot of screen time on this too, is out as Henry Allen on Flashpoint.
Yeah.
So it's just, you see these characters, you're like, well, you're not in the movie anymore. You're in the movie now. Where is everybody going? The one scene that I think was probably my favorite part was the nightmare scenario. What'd you think of that?
It was all right. It was good. They expanded on it, and it needed some expansion to be understood. After it was like 6 parts and after the intermission and epilogue and
after the secret scene that everybody was super excited for when the first movie, that was probably the best scene of the original. Deathstroke arriving on, you know, Luther's boat was great. And now we get Deathstroke, Cyborg, Robo Flash, who's got a new suit, Batman, Mera, and the Joker.
What I'll say about the real quick about the Deathstroke scene before I get to the other scene is I heard a lot of people talking and I read a couple articles saying that is since they only show just that flashback of Lex Luger going into the shuttle and creating, but then going away, and a lot of people, me too, was like, "Where's Lex Luger in all this?"
Yeah. Or
Lex Luthor.
Yeah, Lex Luger's at WrestleCon.
Yeah, he won't fly, so he's riding on a bus.
Yeah.
Where's Lex Luthor in all this? And then you get to the scene, and it's a more serious Luthor, and he escaped from jail, and it makes it either means that the reason he was acting that way is it was fulfilled, like his usefulness was fulfilled by Darkseid, because Darkseid was kind of not taking over his body, but like infecting his mind in a way it made him act ridiculous.
Yep.
Or that was all. This is Zack Snyder correcting that big blemish of why did they have Lex Luthor played as the Riddler? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Instead of a serious businessman. And so I think what I think might have happened with that scene is that's a correction. Because you see him, he's just wearing a suit. He's very, you know, serious about what he wants to happen. No jokes. Doesn't, like, talk about piss in it or anything. Yeah. And
I think if it's a correction, on not for Whedon, because Zack Snyder was the one who wrote Luthor in Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah. That's what's crazy is, that Luthor did not fit in with Zack Snyder's vision.
Not at all.
That's why I don't know what happened there. And I think that's, you know, given feedback and opportunity, he was like, okay, let's completely rewrite this idea that I had and whatever and go this direction with it.
Yeah, I kind of look at that scene and the nightmare scene as kind of like his audition for the future.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I have. These are the people who I have committed to this. Obviously, Ray Fisher probably would never be back with DC given his beef with Geoff Johns and Walter Hamada. But Amber Heard is probably going to be looking for jobs.
Yeah.
You know, she's been getting a little feisty out there. Ezra Miller, he's not like in everything. He's not Hollywood's it boy. Ben Affleck, still not doing a lot of things, right, besides The Way Back. And Joe Manganiello, you know, he is what he is. So you have this group of people that are invested in this movie. Henry Cavill, who wants to play Superman too. So you can still just say, like, this is what I have. This we could take it nightmare version, Injustice, however you want, or we could take it Legion of Doom, because I have Jesse Eisenberg who wants to do this, Joe Manganiello who wants to do this, and obviously Jared Leto wants to be part of this. So I feel like both of those were his, like, I'm going to keep my name in the running and keep the door open for the future of my history with Warner Brothers or my lineage of DC Comics.
Right. So, yeah, I think that's, that's kind of commendable in a way to, you know, try to get his actors jobs that he just does have relationships with. And some of those people, look. Ben Affleck has dug his own holes. We know he's talented. We know he can act. We know he can direct. We know he could do a ton of different things, but he's chosen a path and he's chosen to be a certain way.
Yeah.
And, like when you're so bad that Kevin Smith doesn't want to be around you and can't stand you, something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
So he's chosen to be obtuse and hard to deal with. So whatever path that he carves out is what he wants. I mean, he could write. He won an Oscar for writing. He could direct. Yeah. He won an Oscar for Argo. And he's a great actor. But he's just, you know, people don't want to deal with him.
Yeah.
So the fact that he doesn't have a blockbuster movie every year, you know, says a lot about his character as a real person. But there is a whole list of other actors there. Joe Manganiello should be a leading man at this point. And I don't know why he doesn't get an action role.
Well, I saw Arch Enemy. And I'm not saying it's a bad movie, but it's not my favorite.
Right.
You know,
but I mean,
Joe Manganiello, I kind of put in the, and I love Joe Manganiello. I've always loved him from like True Blood when I first saw him, Spider-Man back in the day when he was Flash. I feel like he has the, he should be an action hero. Like you said, he's got the build.
He's the stature of a superhero.
He's rugged. He can play multiple roles. I put him in the group of like Frank Grillo.
Yeah.
Another actor who I really like. But then when I put their movies where they're starring side by side, I like Frank Grillo movies better. I saw Boss Level, right? Frank Grillo, Mel Gibson, Will Sasso, and I think Naomi Watts, right? I loved it. It's one of the best things I've watched since in March, at least. It's one of the best things I've watched in a while. But then I watched Arch Enemy, and I'm like, this is not the superhero movie I wanted to see him in.
Right.
And it was trippy. It had Mandy vibes.
Okay.
You would love it.
Well, Joe Manganiello, when I say leading man, that's probably too much, and I shouldn't have said that. But he does have lead villain capabilities. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he can go out there and he could play Deathstroke. You know, I think he'd be great at it. Or, you know, and
Craven.
He's got the stature to play a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think he'd do good in that. And in a controlled situation, Craven, I think, would be great because, I don't know, he's kind of got a, like, Craven's delivery is kind of like Shakespearean, or it's kind of like, you know, romantic in a way.
But Joe could probably dive into his D&D days.
Yeah.
Where he could like, you know, dive into the DM verse and like get into it. Also, surprised that he's not casted in that movie.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I'm very surprised he's not in the Dungeons and Dragons movie.
Maybe it's too on the nose. Because
it's got a great cast. Going,
yeah. I'm surprised he doesn't go on YouTube and play, because that's a lot of guys are making a lot of money playing Dungeons and Dragons on YouTube.
And he's got a great party too. I think like Vince Vaughn's part of it.
Yeah.
He's got a really good D&D party.
The Hollywood one. That's besides the point.
Yeah.
But everybody else you named could potentially, and that's at some point, like Ezra, you got to pull a trigger on an Ezra because he's not going to play the young upstart. You know, I don't think you have the longevity in Ezra Miller as the Flash, like physically, like you do. Like Tom Holland will always, at least for another 15 years, look like Spider-Man just graduated high school.
Yeah.
I don't think Ezra Miller's getting older, and I think he's looking older, and he's trending a different way and looking a different way. So
he's also getting in trouble.
Yeah.
Choking out women in Iceland.
Yeah. So you don't have a lot of time with these actors or these people. So
yeah, I totally agree. Would you? All right. So let's say Hollywood gets back to normal. DC says, let's do it. Warner Media is in on it. Let's do a HBO Max 6-episode nightmare situation in Justice. Would you watch that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So would I.
I mean,
because now you can finally get the story, and they have to be hour long episodes.
I mean, is it going to follow Injustice storyline, the game? Like, let's not make it after the game. Let's make it the comic books that are based on the game, but whatever. I think game movies are a curse, so let's not do that. But
Mortal Kombat, man, that's going to be great. Mortal Kombat's going to break the curse.
I think it could be interesting. I think it could be fun. And this one didn't have a post-battle Superman scene, really. It went right into the Batman and meeting up with, basically forming the Justice League with, Martian Manhunter. And then it went to the boat scene, and then it went to the future. So I think the story, there's a lot of story left there. And we could get a lot of story with Joker. I didn't hate him.
Me either.
He was hard to sometimes look at and listen. The filter they had on everybody in the future, they're going to have to figure out a way to like make that watchable, because I got those Cloverfield vibes where I was just going to have to walk out of the movie, even though it's just on my TV in my living room. But
just walk out of your house. I'm done with this. Would you want a second version of, or second part of this Justice League movie? 2.5 hours?
I feel like we got two movies. Yeah. And I think that's the problem is, you know, we got two movies squished into one and then rushed out and to fill a void, a superhero void. I think that's what it did. So, I mean, I wouldn't mind a sequel to this.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and I think in a way it would be a third, like a trilogy. It would be a third movie. And at some point, Zack Snyder might decide this is how I want it to go. Here's what I originally planned to be the first movie. Here's what my plan was for the second movie. Here's my plan for a third movie. And but that's given him too much.
He's come out and said what he wanted to do. And it's wild. Yeah. Like Lois Lane's pregnant with Batman or with Batman's kids, I think. The next Batman's kids is going to be the next Superman. Batman dies. They all die. Like,
yeah,
everybody dies in this movie, but Lois Lane.
I don't understand any of that. Yeah, none of it made sense to me. Because I don't, he's usually good for recognizing storylines and I didn't recognize any of his storylines that he was talking about.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with it.
All right. So let's get to the most important thing. And then I have a rumor that I want to talk to you about that coincides with Zack Snyder. What's your score?
I'm going to give it, if the original was a one, and I think I struggled to give it that, maybe I give it a half. I give this one a 3.
Okay.
I think it's a strides better. And it's not the best DCEU. I still think Aquaman, and I think Superman 2.
Shazam.
I think there's a lot. But it is one of the better ones, and I think it did a lot, and I think it suffers still a lot from rushing it to get it out in a certain time frame where this would have no competition.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of things. There's still so much story that they could have cut that made this that didn't lead to anything. So, I mean, 4 hours, and I'm okay with it being 4 hours if it's good 4 hours, but I don't think it was a good 4 hours. So
all right.
I'll give it a 3.
All right. I'm going 4.5. Yeah. I like it. I think it's just because how bad the dumpster fire before it was.
Yeah.
And just the scheme of things, like this being top 5 in that universe is saying a lot.
I will tell you this, and here's how I know that everything's skewed. I have no idea what happened in any of the movies. They're all a blur to me.
Yeah.
Anything that took place and has Batman and Superman in it, and then, you know, everybody else, is real hard for me to like, separate. I get confused because I think the stories all kind of get muddied and run together. And I don't think they're the best aspects. They're not the best movies. But if for some reason, the best movies are the standalones and, you know, the ones that veer away from this central plot point, even though there is no plot point anymore. And
yeah,
I get so confused about these movies. I can't keep them all in, and I don't watch them enough. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to watch them enough.
I've watched them all once, and I feel like it's still my cross to bear, and like I carry that burden of bashing the DC movies until they sponsor us. So until then, I will still talk badly about them. But I want to go into a rumor. On Active Geek, like 3 weeks ago when we recorded this, I had asked Chuck the question of, if this doesn't pan out and turn into Zack Snyder's reintroduction into the DCEU, where could he fit in the Marvel, the MCU? So I had said, like, Blade would be great because it's dark, it's gritty. He knows like the horror vampire zombie aspect. I also thought if he was sticking with my initial dream for him to do series, it would be Secret Invasion. I think he could tell a pretty cool espionage kind of story with a bunch of moving pieces that would be shot beautifully, just like this movie was. But the rumor came out. I saw it on Friday before I left work. He's in talks to write the next 3 Avengers movies.
Huh.
So, again, I'm going to take this with a huge grain of salt.
Right.
Because it wasn't a very reliable outlet. But if that rumor is being discussed, you know, small outlets get it from big outlets. Where do you stand with that? Would you want him to be the next
Take over basically the MCU. See, I don't think I think we've mentioned this before. I don't think the Avengers are the future of the MCU. I think it's going to be, we eventually have to break into the mutants. And I think the X-Men and stuff like that. I don't know about three more Avengers movies. Is that three movies with the Avengers name, or is that three movies
I think
consisting
with the name.
Of Avengers characters?
I would think with the name, because half of our original Avengers are either dead or retired. I would think it would be more the new Avengers, young Avengers, maybe West Coast if they bring them.
If we're going, if you say young Avengers, I don't think you could do that.
No, neither do
We were talking about how he's got a certain style, grayscale, dark, horror aspects. I don't think he could handle a young Avengers.
I don't think I've ever seen him have a movie with children in it.
Right. So I don't know. I don't think that's the right fit. I think he could easily fit into Marvel because there is no ambiguity. He's not the last say. He will not be the last say in a Marvel movie. They have a story. He has to, everybody that's telling their story gets to tell it and direct it. But here's the, guidelines of how to make this movie. Even Taika Waititi's got guidelines. He's got a lot more leeway lately, but, he's got to fit stories in there. And then he just has his style.
Yeah.
So I Zack Snyder's not going to be the final word. So I think he could direct a decent-looking movie. I always said it, even though I don't like him, he has an eye for perfect shots, comic book panel shots. He gets that in everything that he's ever done. So I don't know what he'd be good at. And I like to see Blade stay. I like to see African-American take over it or something. I'd like to see that, maybe not 100%, but, where they have to put it. But I'd like to see that be be their new people of color kind of comic representation. So I wouldn't like to see him go into that. But I don't know. I don't know where else he would his dark energy fits into this.
So a while ago, I broke down a Fantastic Four introduction to the MCU where they were going to spin out of Ant-Man. And I went through all the rumor said was this is what's going to happen with these characters. Victor Von Doom is going to be introduced. And then his story is going to be told in a series. Would you think Zack Snyder doing a Doctor Doom, Victor Von Doom series be a good place?
Yeah, I could. But it'd have to. He's got to morph. At some point, he's got to show the gloom comes later. And I think that he's got to show that eventually.
Yeah.
That Dr. Doom's, Victor Von Doom's life started out a lot bright and shinier than it ended up. I think he would do great, when he finally puts the suit on and stuff like that. I think that'll be awesome. And shooting some of his past or some of his ancestors and, him dealing with magic. But there's, when he goes to college in America and stuff like that and visits America, I think he's got to be able to shoot something different than the grayscale. He's got to be able to kind of brighten it up a little bit at certain points and then evolve into that darker stuff that he could do really well.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a great character for him.
Yeah. And he has to realize, like you said, that there are more filters than gray. Because Marvel's a much brighter universe, even in Falcon and Winter Soldier, which we haven't even talked about, which we will later in episodes. There's more colors.
Yeah.
It's a brighter world. It's not black and white and gray, although he did release the black and white version of the Justice League. I watched it. It's fun. It's like watching an old-time movie. But that's it, man. We'll get out of here. We've talked enough about Zack Snyder. We are not petitioning for him to get a Marvel role, although it would be nice to see what he did. He has another movie coming out in May called Army of Darkness, which is a zombie movie with Dave Bautista in it. So I look forward to seeing that. We'll be back next week to talk another HBO Max movie, a movie that I am not thrilled about talking again. Kong, yeah. Godzilla versus Kong, but
super great.
Yes, yeah, super awesome. Go home and watch that and throw out everything that's come before it because it's a whole new world.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week. Follow us on social media, the Galaxy Wars Podcast. Listen to Active Geek on Wednesdays and Saturdays. And here's $20. Buy yourself something nice.